Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Cali, and I am joined by the funniest man in America, Robert of Otakura Style. How is it going, my friend?
It's going great. What an introduction to make me feel good about myself.
I try. I really do. I mean, we're talking about one of the wackiest movies I think I've ever seen in my entire life, so I'm going all out and trying to be as big and bombastic as possible.
I'm here for it.
So, what did we watch and what are we talking about?
Night is Short, Walk On Girl.
From my personal favorite director, Masaki Yuasa, which is literally just about this girl who walks for an entire night.
What feels like a full year.
It really does. And the movie is only an hour and a half.
I may have an unpopular opinion about movies. I think it should be illegal for them to be over an hour and 20 minutes. And I was thrilled when I saw it was only an hour and 34.
Dude, like, I love this movie so much, but you're right. It feels so busy that the 90 to 100 minute mark, it feels like a 2 hour movie. Because so much random stuff just happens and happens and happens. And it's weird because I don't hate any of it.
I agree. It moves at a great pace. It's fun. It's the art is just fantastic.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Beyond anything else.
So I gave a very bare bones explanation. It is about a girl that walks, but it's more than that. You have a girl who walks, a girl who is called the girl with the black hair, or the otome with the black hair, who is very heavily admired by her senpai, who always happens to be where she is by chance. He's a stalker. He's a stalker.
Just a coincidence.
No, yeah, he's a coincidental stalker, you know. You know, good for him. And it's basically him using fate and using chance to try to get in good with her while she's deciding, all right, I'm going to be led by fate tonight, and whatever happens, happens. So first things first, this woman can put down drinks like nobody's business.
I had briefly mentioned to you that this is my second viewing. The first time I watched it, it made me want to go out drinking and have a wild night, and then yesterday when I watched it, I was fully hungover from the night before, so I had a very different reaction to all the alcohol she was slamming, for lack of a better term.
I was going to say, the night was long for you, wasn't it?
It was long and it was fun, but a few of those images got me a little queasy this time.
And that's because it's just such a visual feast. I mean, everything is so deliberate, but the animation is... You know, like when people say animation is fluid, but they mean that it's just straightforward and that there's just a lot of things going on. This literally, like when they drink, you know how the drink will move through their entire body.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that really unique animation of fluid being fluid throughout the body. And they have just these amazing uses for their, what are they called? Appendages, their arms and legs.
Yeah,
they have these amazing uses of their appendages where they're doing that dance where they're hanging out with all those old guys, and that one dude who is very upset that the lady that he loves is going out with somebody else or is going to marry somebody else, which starts a conversation of, do you marry for love or do you marry for stability,
which
felt very real.
There's some valid points. Like, I want to hate on him, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe this guy's onto something.
Because I was like, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? I've done both. Not marriage, but I've done both. So, like, I get why he's upset, but also, get it together. She didn't choose you. But still, I've definitely done both, so I get it.
What they say, do the first one for love and the second one for money? Is that how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, like money or stability. Not to say I'm a gold digger, Robert, but you know, you gotta make ends meet. Just gotta make ends meet.
It's true. And I mean, you go around the second time, go around, you gotta weigh it out, gotta like figure it out.
Like a merry-go-round, like a doorknob, everyone gets a turn. But yeah, I really enjoyed just how wild this movie is, because really you don't know what's gonna happen the entire time. I mean, you see that it's this cute, whimsical, just adorable world. Like you said, it's beautiful to look at, which it's funny. Like I said, this is directed by Masaki Yuasa, who also did the Tatami Galaxy. And this just gets really weird where the Tatami Galaxy and The Night of Short Walk On Girl are from the same author. And they're technically alternate realities from one another, but one is a spiritual successor. So it's in the same vein. I think they also did Penguin Highway. But that's why Tatami Galaxy and Night of Short look so similar, because they're from the same author, and Yuasa just so happened to work on both of them, which he didn't work on the Tatami Time Machine Blues or whatever it's called.
Time Machine.
He didn't work on that one, but because it was Science-Saru, they kept a lot of the stuff the same. I need to finish that.
That's I've not watched that one. We did watch Tatami Galaxy, and I enjoyed it very much.
It's so fast-paced. I did a whole episode on it that, now that I've said it, has to be released before we release this episode.
I think what's so nice about the style in general is so often it's easy, or you kind of want to dismiss things that aren't so intricately drawn or so masterfully detailed, quote unquote, like whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. But the style, it's so intentional, you know what I mean? Like it's not like they just, oh, we're going to draw simple characters and simple lines. It's wonderfully done. So even if you look at that art, or you look at the trailer and you have that initial reaction of, I don't know, and then you watch it and it's just so beautiful. It's just so great. I wish I had better words to articulate just how cool, interesting and fun it is when they have the drink off, her and the old guy in the train, and it's just the two of them with the flowers, and you know, every time she drinks, then he's all the doom and gloom, and just that contrast, and everything they do is so particularly and intentionally chosen. It's wonderful.
Yes, what really I've heard the term Toon Force be thrown around a lot here recently, but really this feels, and this kind of lends itself to the fact that anime is not necessarily the same as a cartoon, because this is a cartoonish anime. It's just as you say, everything is very deliberate. Everything really seems to have a purpose, which is just something that I really love about how Yuasa works. Everything is the way that it is for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the cameos, because you've seen Lou Over the Wall, right?
Yes.
Did you catch the cameos?
No. I did watch it because of your podcast, though. Lou Over the Wall and Just Talking.
So the three kids from Lou Over the Wall are actually in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're sitting in, a crowd when they're doing those mobile plays, because apparently there are mobile plays that can be had by a man who has not changed his underwear. He has not changed his drawers since the last time, which was the first time that he saw a woman who got hit upside the head with an apple on the same day at the exact same time as he did. He said, I'm not changing my drawers until I see her again. And I don't know about you, but after one day, my drawers smell like a hard day's work. And he's in college, so I can't even imagine all the pheromones, this, that, and the third that's going on down there. So that has got to be bacteria overload.
Some people are into the musk. They want that natural aroma, so he might be drawing flies and fly ladies.
Like, you remember that movie Osmosis Jones?
Yeah.
Imagine that movie taking place in Don Underpants' underwear.
What a horrible thought.
Let me tell you something. That would be Masaki Yuasa's version of Akira. That alone. And the fact that you can have, the way that you can have that type of comparison is something that you can only get from Yuasa and from something as outlandish as Night of Short Walk On Girl. Especially because at its root, it really is this girl who's deciding to be led by fate. And this, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a loser, but Senpai really does not have it together. No, yeah, he's a loser.
Call a spade a spade.
he's a bit of a loser. But it's like, I don't know. I showed this movie to a friend, and he said, it was cute, had me in the first half. Second half, I was just off put by him. He ruined the movie for me.
I will say she's far more interesting.
Yes.
In the last half, I already stated my opinion about long movies, and it's still not that long. The last 20 minutes of it or so, I don't know the movie would be the same without it, but it's far less interesting.
It feels different
to me than, like, the beginning. You
it
know?
Feels like it's come out of somewhere completely different, right?
Yeah. But it drives that point together of the two of them, and it, her, like you said, embracing fate so much more than he does and trying to force things, and just kind of the two of them as contradictory almost in that sense.
It's almost like it's weird. It's like he's the agent of his own fate, and he is trying to be the agent of fate in general. So I don't know. I don't know what that says about, because he's not that clever. I wouldn't call it manipulation, but he did get what he wanted in the end. And I think she might have been interested in him, but just like the dude from the Tatami Galaxy, he just didn't have it in him. He didn't have that dog in him to say, I like you, let's go out.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of like a, well, you know, he needs me, and I've been looking for some sort of fate to tell me to come talk to him. Well, here it is on the night, the same night that we started the movie in, which feels like a completely different night now. I'm gonna go talk to him, and he's gonna be my man or whatever.
And she kind of gets directed there and pushed there, but it's one of the times that he doesn't force a coincidental meeting, right? Like, he just is there sick and lets fate take control. And I think he cleans his room, I think, is one thing he kind of does, or they nod to him, but he doesn't actually do much of anything, if that says anything to the point or my interpretation of it, you know?
No, I think you're right. I think it speaks volumes to what happens when you let fate run its course.
And let me tell you how good I am about letting fate take its course.
Oh, Lord.
Not great. Not graceful. Not wonderful with it. Maybe I should learn a lesson.
You know, they're like, what, 20-something? The lessons are not to be had. We are old men. We have a lot more troubles than these two university students, Robert. You are fine. You are allowed to worry.
There was a version of Robert 20 years ago that was walk on, drinking, stumbling through the bars, meeting random people. Not this version.
I mean, look, I hear you, because me at that age, I was in biker bars with hellbillies. I am not built the same as I was. I'm like Legos. You pull me apart and you make something completely different. Like, instead of like this sturdy foundation, now I'm just like three Legos stacked on top of each other, and that's it. One blow, I am down. One drink, I am down. It's not gonna happen. Watching this movie makes me think two things. Wow, I love this atmosphere, and youth is amazing. And also, I do not miss being young.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I do kind of, I don't want to say I miss being young, but there is like that lightning in a bottle kind of moment when, even as an adult, quote unquote, whatever, lack of a better term, you know, when you're with your friends and everyone's vibing and the mood is right. And like, even if you're not getting hammered, but the drinks are going and you're, there is something so magical and so wonderful about that drinking experience for me. And you don't need to drink. I'm not forcing anyone to be an alcoholic, but that movie does show some of that fun of just like, we're out having a wild, good time, having fun. And it, in some ways, being animated and being kooky and being wacky may take some of that reality away of getting too drunk or someone getting sick. But it gives me that like kind of longing for those like wild nights I had, which occasionally sneak in, you know, me being hungover watching this.
Well, when you put it that way, now that I'm thinking about it, the girl with the black hair does drink with older characters, which does speak to your point of camaraderie. This film is also very much about camaraderie and what it means to be in good company. And if we're being perfectly honest, what being a positive person or just being nice, how being nice can influence others, because she's so sweet to everybody throughout this entire movie. The only person, well, no, she punched two people. She punched one dude who tried to touch her titty, and punched Senpai because he didn't have any pants on, which it was not his fault, audience. Don't worry. He's not a pervert to that degree.
But even then, she uses, like she was taught, the closed fist. Isn't she called it the friendly punch or something?
Yeah, the friendly punch.
So she's still, even in her violence, being positive and spreading love, I guess.
That is all that she does. And it's like the universe rewards her for everything that she does. Every person that she makes friends with, that she takes care of, that when she told the old guy, I'd love to drink with you again, the clock literally went back on him and he gained some of his youth back. So I guess there's a lesson too, that when you're in good company, when you have niceness, when you have joy about you and kindness, all that, well, ideally what you should get back in a perfect world is you get good stuff back.
Which, I think she does.
Yeah. And what really drives that point home, and is one thing that I tell a lot of people, she's not doing good things expecting to get something in return. She's just doing them to do them. And that's why things work out in her favor so much, I think.
For sure. And her youthfulness in such a positive way, too. And I think youthfulness in the can exist in the extent of age, but like, think about Howl's Moving Castle and Old Souls, and you know, people exist on this continuum of age, right? But just having that moments or harkening back to your youthfulness and joy and positivity sometimes goes a long way. It's easy to get stuck in a bitter cycle, and I'll admit I like to complain and piss and moan sometimes, and then I get stuck in the cycle and I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm just spiraling for no reason, you know?
I mean, I guess when there are five or more Yuasa films, there's not really much to complain about in the grand scheme of things, but it's really easy to complain. It's not as though we don't have the right to complain. But you're right, it's really easy to do it. It's easy to get upset and to let that overtake our personalities and our moods for the day or the week. Sometimes you just have a bad month.
Yeah.
But it's great because this shows that a little bit of positivity can go a long way, because if you asked me to drink that much and be happy, I would not do it. If you asked me to take care of all of those people, if I was in a bad mood, I would say, no, I will not do that. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get a bottle of Hennessy so that I feel better, because anything is possible. Anything is possible, Robert. And I'm going to sleep. And whatever happens, happens to everybody else. And that amazing night would not happen. And we wouldn't have this amazing film.
And we have people around you, like she encounters, all the people she encounters and makes time for, you know, just in general, too. I can think back of those times that I've been in good company and you're out with good friends and you just have that good vibe. And I think one of the things I really do like about the movie is just that the fun they have, the fun she has, the weirdness of it. And it's not so existential or so weird that you're kind of put off by it, right? Like, it still carries this joyous tone the whole time, but you can really kind of, I think, leave or halfway through kind of clicks in your head what's going on. And they may spell out some things a little more about fate and taking care of and reversing the clock, right? Like, hopefully you get the point when the clock goes backwards and the clock's going forward, but it still doesn't feel like you're beat over the head with it. It doesn't feel like they're yelling a plot or a point or a moral or a lesson at you. You just kind of watch it and enjoy it, and then it kind of clicks in your head later. At least for me, it did.
Oh, no, same. It's this thing where I love it when movies do this. I love it where I'm enjoying myself in the moment. And you're right, things don't hit me until after the fact. When I watched Lou Over the Wall, the first thing I thought while I was watching it, and this movie's almost 2 hours long, I was just thinking, this is so cute and this is so pleasant. And then I thought about it and I came up with some really weird stuff. I was thinking stuff like, oh, this is what it means to overcome discrimination, because that's what it, this is a perfect mirror to overcoming discrimination, because that's what they were doing to the merfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, all I think is, it doesn't cost anything to be a nice person. And that's a lovely thing to walk away with.
That's a hard thing to walk away with sometimes, like you said. Sometimes that mood gets you. But yeah, if you can really afford it, or you can afford those friends around you to help build you up when you need it, it's definitely a movie worth watching. If you haven't seen it, if people haven't seen it, to check out and have a good time. Because truly, some of the weird shit that happens in that movie, really, like you said, the pop-up theater, the running around, the reveal of the lover hit with the apple. What a...
Oh my gosh.
Series of events.
Please give me an excuse, he says. Honestly, if I was a spoilery man, which I'm not feeling like today, I would talk about that for a solid 15 minutes. But this movie is so cute that you don't realize how truly out of pocket it is sometimes, but in the best possible way. I mean, I send you weird stuff all the time. And I say, you and I, we say some very off-kilter stuff to each other, but some of the things I saw in this movie, I think, okay, this is really cute. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that was messed up, but in a really good way. Like, it's so wholesome that I can't be mad at it.
And they set you up for them. That's what I appreciate the most. Sorry. They set you up for these jokes, reveals, stories, plot lines that are going to happen. And you kind of pay attention to them when they're talking about this legend or this story or this person, this is their hobby, what they do. And then when it all unfolds, it's just so rewarding to be like, oh yeah, they definitely did explain this earlier. They definitely mentioned this earlier. This came up and it clicks. And again, it's not like they beat you over the head with it. They're easy to ignore, but it all comes together so well in the end.
Honestly, this is, I don't want to get burned to the stake for this, but you know what? I'm climbing this hill and I will die on it. Night of Short Walk On Girl has Oda level foreshadowing. Because I've been reading One Piece, as you know. I actually just finished Thriller Bark, which is my favorite arc thus far. I love Thriller Bark. And I'm hearing things that are kind of swirling through my head. I met Kuma, who... Okay. is apparently a big deal, and I just got the first mention of Kaido, who I know is the antagonist of the Wano arc. So,
yep.
These seeds are being sown 10 years in advance, 10 plus years, because this isn't the first time I've heard about Wano. And mind you, Oda has been doing this for like 27, 28 years. Yuasa manages to set up a lot of things to be paid off in an hour and a half. And it's surprising how many things he does it for, but it never feels like too much, which, going back to your point earlier, this does really feel like kind of two separate movies, to the point where it feels disjointed, but because of the subject matter, because the night is long, and they even say, as you said, it feels like it's been a year in this one night, you can really forgive it, because it's so surreal, but everything just pays off so well in the end, and it has one of the cutest endings to a movie that I've ever seen.
I really did enjoy the ending. I have a terrible goldfish memory, so I will say I good chunks of the movie I remembered, it stuck with me. But rewatching this time, I did not remember the very last scene on it, and it truly did. So cute, so wonderful.
And the best part, and I mean this in a not mean way. Well, no, because one of my top three favorite parts of any Yuasa film, especially past 2010, because I don't remember if he did this for Mind Game or not, but the end credits are always extremely rewarding. It's not like oh God, I'm so glad this movie is over. It's wow, I get all these little callbacks to the movie that I just watched, even though I know I'm going to watch it again in maybe half a year or a year. I watch Yuasa's films every year because they make me feel good.
Yeah.
But the end to Night of Short Walk On Girl, when the credits roll and you get all of these little things that happen through the night in the credits, you know, and then you get that sick, amazing song that has been in my rotating playlist for 7 years from Asian Kung Fu Generation.
It's a great song. And I did download it last night.
And it has that amazing riff. That is one of the best guitar riffs I have ever. Is it a riff or is it a solo? I don't care. Whatever it is, the guitar on that was S tier.
It's great. I will say I had to go find the song, but I got robbed from the credit scenes from watching them because I was streaming the movie. And you know, it was like this, love this, here's what's next. I was fighting with the controls and then it deleted it. And I couldn't be bothered to fast forward. So then I found the song. I was listening to the song a couple times, but I didn't find the credits to rewatch.
I'm so sorry. But I hope you clicked love this so that you could get more amazing anime films.
I always, this is so dumb. It's one of those things that I always like up, especially anime or something smaller. Like, I'm like, I don't need to like Transformers, right? There's billions of people, but anytime there's something that I'm like seems nicher or smaller, I always make sure to like or search or keep on my watch list, watch always or whatever. Just I'm like, maybe my extra view will help.
See, I always do it just because I thought that was how they recommend stuff to you. Like, I put loved it on Pokemon Concierge.
Yeah.
So that way I would get more cozy anime, because that's what I need in my life right now. I'm tired, Robert. I'm so tired.
There are some shows you just need to come back to. Some, I will say, when I feel my soul dip, I usually make my way back to Kiki's Delivery Service as one of those to comfort me and slash kind of fill up my pixie dust, for lack of a better word, get me going again.
I feel you. I'm the same way with Rolakkuma and Kaoru. Someone about
I'm
the
not
lady.
Familiar with that.
This one on Netflix about the lady who lives with the two bears and the bird.
I'll have to look it up.
It's definitely going to be in volume 5, so. Which is what this is. Oh my god.
Woo!
I record things super early, so this is probably going to be released like 6 months from when it's recorded. Maybe longer, I don't know.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. Volume 4 is still being released as this is being recorded. That is how far in advance I work.
So we'll have a chance to relive it, have another drunk night, and come back to it.
Yeah, man. Actually, I was going to say two things, and then if you had anything, I was gonna just let you have free rein. But the first thing is, I'm actually remembering I did have one really good, consistent college memory. So I have a friend named Ryan. Ryan has been on the podcast. We went to college together, and he was an engineer, so he had to do 5 years of school as opposed to my 4.
Okay.
So when we were both technically seniors, we were both fourth years. There was this place right up the road from campus called Waku Waku.
Yeah.
And they had all these Japanese comfort foods. They had curry, they had katsudon, and they had karage ramen. So just imagine 3, sometimes 4, if she liked you, pieces of karage and some of the best ramen you've ever had. And because we were both of age, we were both 21, we could also get liquor. But we knew we had to go back to campus, so, you know, we took it light. And there's this sake called Mio. It's super freaking light. It's very fruity and bubbly. We would just have our ramen and we would just drink that in the restaurant while the owner, Miss Naomi, who has since moved back to Japan, would play anime on TV. So having that was actually a very comfortable alcohol college memory for me, because we didn't get plastered, which there were times where we did, but that was not one of them. That was like a sacred thing for us, just to do that. But no, I really appreciated that. And then you told me that you watched this dubbed, right?
I did.
How was the dub?
You know, Goldfish Memory, I am 99% sure the first time we watched it was subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last time I watched it, partially out of laziness and partially out of we have family visiting, so we watched it with them. So dub was a little easier to get people to do. I thought it was great. I'm sure if you really picked into it, there were things to dissect. But I think they did a great job with the voice acting. There are, I'm sure, a few jokes that were translated when they talked about the koi. There was koi incidents and things like that that were made jokes as. So I assume those were translated to work with the language adaption. Which doesn't bother me because it doesn't take anything away from, you know, like, it worked in English, so it just kind of went on.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was great. It wasn't distracting in any sort of weird way. You know, sometimes there's a voice or two that's just so bizarre you can't focus.
Yeah. I was just curious because, and Night is Short is nowhere near as fast-paced as Tatami Galaxy is. But I know that's a reason that we will never get a Tatami Galaxy dub, is because the translations are just way too much. There's a lot of, what was the word? There are a lot of probably puns, I guess, or in-jokes, cultural
yeah.
references that we just would not get or wouldn't translate over well. So I didn't know if it would be the same with Night is Short, but I know that Night is Short is way easier to digest, probably partially because it's between 90 and 100 minutes. But I've never gotten to see the dub because I think it debuted on HBO Max last year, or maybe 2 years ago. So I haven't been able to watch it on there because I don't have Max, and I've bought the Blu-ray as soon as it came out, and that was in, I think, 2018 or 2019. So every time I've seen the movie, I've seen it subbed, so that's all I know. But G-Kids does a really great job with their dubbing, to the point where I saw The Boy and the Heron dubbed, and I did an episode with Drew on that. My favorite line of any anime ever now is when Christian Bale tells his son, "Daddy will help you get vengeance." G-Kids did that. And because of that, they will always be my favorite.
It's a solid line. Maybe you can use it in your future.
If I decide to become a parent, then yes. I mean, I hope no one beats up my kids. I hope that they end up being really cool, you know, and people are just,
you could,
like,
just be someone's daddy. It doesn't need to be a paternal.
Let me tell you something. I am a perpetual sugar baby.
I love that for you.
I was going to say, if an older woman comes around and says, "Call me mommy," I say, sure.
Yes, mommy.
Yes, mommy. What do they say? Mommy, sorry. Mommy, sorry. Mommy, sorry. That'd be me. Whether it's an older woman or some goth chick working at a coffee shop who spits in my drink.
Both are fine.
Both are ways to go. I promise I'm an adult. Just a sad one. But I'm happy now because we're talking about Night is Short. Maybe I'll find love one day. Just go with fate. I'd love to be married one day. Maybe have children. I don't know. You'll have to tell me you're married. Were children worth it?
I don't have children.
I know.
For years and years and years, I thought I wanted them. Not anymore.
I would much rather, like, me and the wife just get maybe a cat or two, some houseplants.
That's the way to go. And then for us, it's travel.
That seems a lot more manageable. Oh, God, travel. Yeah. That'd be great. They opened Frozen Land in Disneyland, Hong Kong.
It looks so good.
So, yeah, so right. Nice. Travel. Get. What did they say? Mac on? No. Somehow managed to court a lady who likes Disney and anime. Go there. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Forget the cats. Forget plants. Yeah, I want to travel. Great idea.
Mommy who wants to travel, wants to take their sugar baby with them.
Who wants to
you
take
get one of the baby Bjorns and just ride.
Okay, do you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
I don't. I just truly enjoyed it. I really had a good time.
I
wrote down a few things in watching it. I don't think any of them were that insightful and thoughtful, but just truly. Oh, the egg sake was one thing that I wrote down that intrigued me that I had to go Google and see if that was a thing.
It is, right?
Yeah, apparently it is. I won't speak to have any knowledge on it because I did, you know, a 5-second Google and put it down, but.
Well, with that being said, if you want to follow Robert, you can do so on Instagram at Otakura Style, and where else?
We're on Instagram, Otakura Style. We're also on Facebook, but usually we post most to our Instagram. We have a Redbubble shop that's floating around if you want to check out some designs from older anime that we watch or anything. But that's where you can find us. Always hit us up, follow.
He also has some very interesting insights on Revolutionary Girl Utena that I might have to pry out of him in a later episode, because, you know what, we'll get to that. We'll get to that one day. But if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider donating to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And also consider joining the Discord server. Got it. Thank you so much, Robert, for joining me. And thank you all for listening. And with that, we are out.